Big Jim got his hat. Find out where it's at. It's not hustling people strange to you. Even if you do got a two-piece custom-made pool cue. Yeah, you don't
tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off a Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Slim.
You don't mess around with Jim. Don't mess around with Slim. That was the late, great Jim Croce. Left us way too early on your radio friend. It's 11 minutes until 10 o'clock on your tremendous Tuesday morning, and it's time for your business to make the switch to Spectrum Business. With internet speeds up to 60 megabits per second, Spectrum Business Internet will increase your productivity for just $39.99 a month when bundled. And your business will also save time and money with Spectrum Business Voice for only $29.99 a month. Plus, there are no hidden phone fees or taxes and no contracts to sign. Switching is easy. Just call Spectrum Business at 855-327-8001 today. Call now, 855-327-8001. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat package. Glenn Klein, he is the director of Blue Jean Nation from beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. Please welcome to Community Conversation, Mr. Mike McCabe. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So before we get to know Mike McCabe, we want to get to know Blue Jean Nation. What is Blue Jean Nation?
It's a grassroots citizen group that is aiming to pull people together to challenge the political establishment to change its ways with the aim of getting regular people back in the driver's seat of our government eventually. And, you know, it's aimed at trying to make our democracy healthier and ultimately get the voices of regular people heard again.
Why'd you call it Blue Jean Nation?
Well, you know, I guess I wrote this book about 2 years ago called Blue Jeans in High Places, The Coming Makeover of American Politics, and Blue Jean Nation really grew out of the ideas in that book. And, you know, it is about regular people trying to get back in the driver's seat of our government and have their voices heard and have their will done in the halls of government around the country. And, you know, and I don't think there's any better symbol of regular folks than blue jeans. It's the thing that probably we all have in common. Everybody's got them. Everybody wears them. You can wear them to church now. You never used to be able to do that. And kids wear them to school now. You couldn't do that when I was young. And so it's you know, pardon the pun, but it's literally the part of the fabric of American life. And it's a symbol of regular people in America. So it symbolizes us as a people and what we're trying to do to get the political establishment to change its ways.
How many times have you used that fabric of our life?
not many, actually. It's something that came to me just now,
You should use that. It's good.
It's a good symbol of who we are as a people, and it was inspired by a speech I was giving to the Wisconsin Farmers Union State Convention some years ago, and I don't know why I did this. I speak without notes, and I just off the top of my head, I asked him, "How many of you own a donkey?" And much to my surprise, I had 150 or 200 farmers in the audience, and not a single hand went up. And I said, "Oh, come on, somebody's still got to have a donkey on their land," and evidently nobody in that crowd did. I said, "How many of you own an elephant?" And of course, no hands go up. And I said, "How many of you own a pair of blue jeans?" And every single hand in the audience went up. And I said, "So what would symbolize you better? What represents you as a people better, a donkey, an elephant, or a pair of blue jeans?" And the response I got from that particular group of farmers on that evening is what really inspired the name of not only the title of my book and then ultimately the name of this new grassroots group, Blue Jean Nation.
Well, of course, it would be dependent on who's wearing the blue jeans, if you want it representing you or not.
Well, you know, I think the one thing that we've got a real challenge in this country right now because we see, so many of us see each other as enemies, and we see you know, and we see people as enemies who actually have a great deal in common. And you know, we need to find ways to help people start conversations and start relationships when right now they're not talking to each other. They don't think that they have any way of relating to each other. There's so much division and polarization in our society, and we've got to figure out how to bridge those divides. And you know, one of the many things that Blue Jean Nation is trying to do is build understanding and help deal with the mistrust and resentment that exists between urban and rural populations. We're trying to help to bridge the growing rural-urban divide in this state and across the country. And the only way we can do that is to slowly but surely help people see how they actually have some shared interests. They have some things in common, even if they live in cities and then somebody else lives out in the country. We've got an awful lot in common, and we need to rebuild those relationships, because I have not in my lifetime. I grew up on a dairy farm in Clark County, about halfway between Eau Claire and Wausau, and in my lifetime I haven't seen a rural-urban divide as wide as we've got right now today in our political landscape.
He's Mike McCabe. He's the director of Blue Jean Nation. We're speaking to him from our state's capital in Madison, Wisconsin. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. So other than dairy farming, what is your background to prepare you for this effort?
Well, I did grow up on a farm, but I eventually was trained as a journalist and worked for a short period of time as a newspaper reporter. I actually was a summer intern 1 year for the Racine Journal Times and lived for a summer in Racine. Ended up marrying someone who was born and raised in Racine, so I have some ties to Racine myself. But I went on to, for 15 years, I ran a nonprofit watchdog group called the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign that specialized in tracking the money in state politics and helping expose the relationships, the transactions that were going on between the donors who were supplying the money and the public officials who were taking the money and then acting on in ways that benefited those big donors. So we were trying to create a system where people matter more than money in politics. And I ran that group for 15 years before branching off and starting this new venture, Blue Jean Nation. We're still trying to work on trying to make our democracy healthier, but from a somewhat different angle than I was for those 15 years at the Democracy Campaign.
I know one person that does not own a pair of blue jeans. I'll bet you anything. J. Trump.
Well, yeah, you know, and clearly there, I think one of the things that has become so apparent to so many people in this country is that we've got a political system and an economy that are working really well for a few at everyone else's expense. And an awful lot of people out there are thinking, man, the people in the political system aren't listening to us. They don't seem to care about us. They're not working for us. They're working for a few, and they're ignoring the rest of us. And then we've got an economy right now that is working really well for a few. It's making the super rich vastly richer, but it seems like everybody else is either treading water or falling behind. And that's, you know, the kind of people who wear blue jeans pretty much every day are the people who feel like they've lost their voices and they feel like the economy is no longer really working for them. So that whole belief that we've got to create a system that works for all of us and not just a few of us, that is fundamental to what is behind Blue Jean Nation.
Which is really an answer to the question is, how could anybody in their right mind who wears blue jeans on a daily basis vote for Donald Trump? And having voted for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary, a significant percentage of Bernie's voters who voted for him versus Grandma Hillary end up switching over to Trump just because they want to upset the apple cart. It ain't working for them.
Yeah. I think that when you look at Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, you've got two people who are vastly different characters, and they and they disagree on just about everything. Maybe they got a little common ground on trade policy, but they pretty much disagree on everything. But I've personally run into people who said that they voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary and they plan to vote for Donald Trump in the general election. And I think the common thread that comes out of the conversations I have with those voters is that what draws them to both of those people is that they are both anti-establishment figures. And I think there are an awful lot of people who really want to just sort of extend the middle finger to the political establishment, and for some, a few, you know, it's not many of Bernie Sanders supporters who are going to vote for Trump, but I do run into some, and to me, I guess what they're looking for is the biggest possible middle finger to extend that they can find, and Donald Trump seems to serve that purpose for them. That speaks to how frustrated and alienated that a lot of people are feeling. Well, that's a condition that needs to be addressed, not by a billionaire reality TV star, but by a grassroots movement of citizens, regular people pulling together to compel the political insiders to either change their ways or step aside. And you know, for better or worse, rightly or wrongly, you know, whether it works or not, Blue Jean Nation is an effort to do that, to pull people together, for regular people to take their own political fate in their hand, not look to some TV figure for all the answers, but to find answers within themselves.
I think that's a great perspective. But during Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump's rise during the primaries, they did research and said, what kind of person is voting for a 74-year-old Jewish socialist from Vermont and, as you say, a billionaire reality television star who ends up being much more than that as the campaign has gone on, including things like a racist and misogynist and, I think mentally not well. But nonetheless, here's what the research found out, Mike, is that regardless of where somebody falls on the political scale, left or right, that about 35% of the electorate are what sociologists call authoritarians. And they're looking because they're so fed up with the system and they're so feeling out of sorts and out of step with any possibility for progress that they're looking for strong authority. In Bernie Sanders' case, of course, it is the authority of the state. In Trump's case, it is his authority. And so I think that that really does answer a lot to how people on both sides of the political aisle could possibly look to these two guys to be the leaders or the leader of our country and therefore the leader of the free world, the most powerful person on the planet.
I think there's something to that, but I think there's also something going on that why people are so confounded by the way people are landing when it comes to voting or supporting candidates, I think has something to do with the fact that old political labels are starting to fail us. Our political vocabulary is starting to fail us. We've been trained to think and talk about politics horizontally from left to right. We put politicians on a spectrum, on the left or on the right. We describe policies as either liberal or conservative policies. We think about actions from left to right. And, you know, I actually have a chapter in my book called Thinking Vertically, and an interesting thing happens when you flip the political spectrum on its head, and instead of thinking from left to right, you think from top to bottom. And a lot of people who we would assume are to the right or conservative, and a lot of people who you think are on the left or liberal, actually land in the exact same spot on a vertical spectrum when you think from top to bottom, when you think about who has the most money and who has the least, who has the most power in our society and who has the least, whose voices are heard and whose voices are being ignored. There are people on the far right and the far left who actually are in exactly the same spot on a vertical spectrum. And what that says is that the way we've been trained to think and talk about politics, our whole political vocabulary and all the labels that we've created, maybe are starting to fail us, and they no longer are describing emerging political reality. And I think that's where you can have somebody say, on the one hand, I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders in the primary, and if he doesn't get the nomination, I'm thinking of voting for Trump in the general election. And so I think what you described is certainly accurate when it comes to some of the voters out there and what they're thinking. And there definitely is this is a populist moment. And there seems to me there are two brands or two kinds of populism out there. There's an authoritarian populism, and that's really embodied by Trump. There's also a democratic, with a small d, a democratic populism that is spreading across the country. But this is a populist moment, and different people are sort of drawn to different forms of populism. But what binds everybody together is this idea that when you think about who's on top and who's on the bottom, and whose voices are heard and whose voices are ignored, who's got the power and who doesn't in this society, there are an awful lot of people who feel like they're near the bottom of that vertical spectrum, and they're feeling ignored, they're feeling powerless, they're feeling like they're on the outside looking in, and they feel like America's supposed to be their country too, and not just a country that belongs to a privileged few. That's what they're rebelling against. They find different ways. Their rebellion might take different forms, or they're drawn to different kinds of figures. But what they've got in common is this belief that, hey, this country's supposed to belong to all of us and not just a privileged few. And that's what Blue Jean Nation is trying to tap into as well, but from a grassroots citizen perspective, not an authoritarian perspective where we just want somebody to come in and ride in on a white horse and wave a magic wand and solve all of our problems for us, but rather we want to try to empower people to take matters into their own hands and find a way out of these traps with our own ingenuity and our own creativity.
He's Mike McCabe. He is the director of Blue Jean Nation. Great stuff, Mike. Let's do it again before the election is over.
I'd love to.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
That guy was great and worth going overtime for. It's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, and WRJN covers the world.
The fight for Mosul, a pause for Aleppo. I'm Evan Haining. The United Nations expects a flood of refugees to flee Mosul.